to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come again once. You have come once again to that location where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis, even getting things backwards, upside down, and turned around. Dyslexic in some cases, you know?
Yes.
I can be like that often. But I'm glad you guys are here. We our scripture that we stand behind is iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Today you're listening to this podcast because you noticed the topic or you caught it on Facebook and said, I want to hear what this has to say, what you guys have to say about this. And that's the difference between significance and purpose. Mm-hmm. And what the Bible says about both of those things and what this thing is all about. This walk with Christ is something that is so important to us that, you know what, the only reason that you're listening to the show is because you have been tagged. You've been chosen. He chose you. You didn't choose him, believe it or not. And it only because the Father wanted you to receive the good news, you got it. So anyway, so in the studio with me today to talk about this topic, because we both, between the two of us, have so many experiences of the different side of things in life, right? And now we have been we're in the process of being renewed, I should say. Okay?
Amen.
Ian is in the studio with me. Good to have you, bro.
Thank you. Good to be here.
In the house with me today. So, you know, I want to be a little transparent here because we had first thought about, okay, you know, we were discussing topics and things that, you know, and we try to get on topics that men can relate with, right? Mm-hmm. And of course the topic came up of significance and stuff, and then and we just kind of just went back and forth a little bit, and then we mm-hmm. ended up talking about this sort of thing and said, okay, well, let's look up, see what significance says, and definition for
yes.
significance. What does yours say?
Definition of significance, the quality of being worthy of attention or importance.
Ooh, ooh. Should I say that again now?
The quality of being worthy of attention or importance.
Being worthy of attention or importance. So it sounds like something about me.
Yes.
Right? That I need to be important and highlighted.
Yes.
And if we were to look at the meaning of purpose.
The reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists.
Okay. So why am I here? Why am I a follower of Jesus? What does he want me to be doing?
Okay. Yes.
A lot of difference than looking for significance.
Yes.
We both came in agreement here that this is something that I believe all men to a certain degree, sometime in their walk in with Christ, is actually misunderstood. You know, they're looking for significance.
Yeah,
you know?
Everybody wants to be praised. It's part of the sin nature.
It is. but you hit it right on the head. It's part of the sin nature,
mm-hmm.
okay? Where this walk with Christ and discovering and becoming aware of what it is that he's actually wanting us to do mm-hmm. and what he doesn't want us to do. And sometimes we sit there and go, ooh, I guess I've been kind of going down the incorrect path here for a little while, right?
Yeah, definitely.
So when it comes to this sort of thing, as far as significance, go ahead.
You're going to say something. Oh, no.
When we were looking at talking about this thing on significance, all of us, I mean, who doesn't want to know that they are significant in others' lives? We want to think as a husband that we're significant to mm-hmm. our wife, okay? Mm-hmm. As a dad, as a as a father, we want to know that we're significant to our children, mm-hmm. right? That they actually want to spend time with us, and they want to be able to receive from us. They know that they can be protected and taught and loved, you know, mm-hmm. by us, okay? But on the other hand, on the same token, we've got to be worthy of being able to receive that stuff or desire it.
Yes.
Not just desire it, worthy of it.
Exactly. You wouldn't want to yes, to be worthy of that, yes. You do want to know that people love and appreciate you,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that should come naturally.
Yes.
And not through works.
Yes.
Because when it comes through works,
yes.
I mean, it's dead. And you have to have faith to, you know.
Yes.
And just live out your life.
And knowledge, and to be able mm-hmm. to live that path that Christ wants. It's no different. It's kind of like that, you know, and I was raised in, you know, that you do as I say, don't do as I do. Type of thing, right?
I think
and
we all were.
Kid, I think as a kid, you sit there and you just go, well, okay, I guess that's the way I'm supposed to be living, you know. And as mm-hmm. I get older, we only give away what we've received. And if we've received that over a period of time, before we know it, we're saying the same thing that our parents or authority mm-hmm. said to us growing up, and mm-hmm. now we're saying it to our children.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's been times in my life just, you know, it's like I'll do something, activity, whatever, and I'm just like, oh, man, I just sounded like my dad.
Yes.
Or my mom would do that same thing or
right.
whichever. You know, they make an imprint and an impact on our lives.
Right.
Whether you like it or not.
Well, you know what? There's certain things well, let's get to what the Word of God says. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote this, Ecclesiastes, okay? And in Ecclesiastes 12, the very last two verses, 13 and 14, okay,
mm-hmm.
said, here's the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Mm.
For God will bring deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil.
Mm-hmm.
So in seeking to be obedient to the Lord, right, to God, okay,
yeah.
as a result of that, we're going to find ourselves that this is what he wants. Because, see, when we seek him,
mm-hmm.
we're going to desire to please him, okay?
Yes.
Not mark something off so that we can say, hey, I'm that much closer to the Lord. Look at what I just did or look what I just said or whatever it is. No, it's about how our heart is. Do we really desire to please him?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I like the point you just brought up. Do you go through life with a checklist?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and your day-to-day matters. Because living out of, organizational planning is good when it comes to business things.
Yes.
But in your own personal life, do you check off, okay, I said goodbye to my kids today. I gave him a hug before school.
Yes.
You know, do you go through and check off and think, okay, well, I did these things. Now I'm a good man.
Mm-hmm.
Or do they come naturally to you and you do them out of your love and respect for those other people in your lives?
But it's kind of that same, and we've all heard this also, that to have a friend, mm-hmm. you have to be a friend. Okay?
Exactly.
And the same thing, you know, when it comes with our children, with our family, you know, men desire respect, you know, as one of the number one things in a relationship, in marriage, okay? They demand, I mean, that's just a desire. It's a need. We want to be respected, knowing that we're doing the right thing,
mm-hmm.
okay? But that right thing could sometimes have nothing to do with what God wants us to be doing, right?
True.
And as a result of that, we come up with our own idea. And so we want and desire and demand sometimes respect.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what it's about. It's
about
when I start being respectful, I'm going to receive respect. When I start giving love rather than my desires, rather than someone else's, then all of a sudden I may receive that love and that respect,
mm-hmm.
okay? And that's a hard thing to get in our heads, because sometimes we just, I don't know about anybody else, but I grew up with the idea that I've got to get my piece of the pie. Everyone seems to be doing their thing, and I've got to be able to learn what my thing is, and I'm going to do it so I can get more of the things that they have, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
which is back into envy, right, and
yeah.
And lust, right, that all of a sudden, wow, look at the big house they've got. They've got, must make lots of money, so I got to get more money. I've got, mm-hmm. so I can get a bigger house or a big house, mm-hmm. and all of these things, the things of the world, right?
Yes.
So in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 3, this is what he tells us about this sort of thing. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. So when I am thinking of being significant, okay, you know, when I think I need to have what I need to have so that I can feel better, I'm doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
That's conceit,
yeah.
you know. And vain conceit.
Anyway. Yeah, and selfish ambition,
mm-hmm.
which is, yeah, comes right back to the definition of it.
But you've probably never been that way before, right?
Oh.
Now, see, now here I'm going to kind of mess with you a little bit.
Okay.
Here, because when people would first meet you, Ian, they would say, wow, this is a really humble guy. Right?
Okay.
Is that how you see yourself?
I'd honestly say no.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. If you were to look in the mirror and everything, you'd be like the rest, some of us, like myself, knowing that, man, mm-hmm. I am a selfish idiot sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I always want what I want, and I want it now.
And it's about me.
Yeah.
And if I don't get what I want, even though I can play the part of a humble man, mm-hmm. you know, but truly I'm trying to get something that I so desire.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It definitely. In my life, I've always done that.
Yep.
I mean, you always, okay, what can make me a better person? Mm-hmm. What can, how do I get that look? You know,
yes.
how do I, I mean, let's just stay there with the self-image thing. I mean, I was a comparaholic.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. Hi, my name is Ian. I'm a former comparaholic. when you try to compare yourself to something else,
yeah.
which unfortunately this world we live in teaches you that's the only way you can succeed.
Right.
Is by comparing yourself to others. Comparing yourself to the things around you, the things you do, the things you have,
mm-hmm.
and that will make you happy.
Yeah.
And that is not what God wants
in
our lives.
That's the number one marketing thing in the world itself.
That, oh, it
you
is.
You know, you don't have this. And if you had this, this is what your life can be like.
Exactly.
Right? And these are the people that can mm-hmm. be in your life if you have this, you know. And all I have to do is get this, whatever that might be. It could be a $60,000 truck.
Yeah.
It could be a $12 six pack of a certain beer or something.
Exactly.
Right? You know, whatever it is. Okay?
Exactly.
But these are the things that that try to draw us into this comparison. Because so mm-hmm. often what we compare is that we compare our insides with other people's outsides.
Yes.
Because, see, we don't know the real story behind everything.
Yeah.
I may see that guy driving in that really nice truck that's all set up with fancy wheels and a lift and everything else on it that looks very cool.
Smokestack on the back.
And sitting there going, man, I wish I had that. I guess if I was as good looking as this guy and probably had as much money as he has, we don't know the whole story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That may not even be his truck.
Exactly.
That could be his brother's truck, and he's taking it for a drive,
uh-huh.
you know, and just saying, can I drive? Yes, go ahead. You know? Have you ever I used to do that. I remember I went to a cousin's house, went to a wedding in California, and my cousin's husband had a Dodge RT. And I tell you mm-hmm. what, it was a Roadrunner, right? And so we actually, I said, can I take this for a drive?
Oh, yeah.
And they said, and she says, well, I don't know. Let's ask Ralph. And Ralph says, you know what? Go ahead. And I just turned 18, right? I got my license.
Mm-hmm.
And he let me drive it. He says, you know what? I'm going to let you drive this by yourself. Go ahead. But you just stay within the area. Don't go off on the freeway or anything like that. I said, okay. So it was orange and black. And I tell you what, man, I enjoyed that ride.
Oh, yeah.
And I took my time. I even borrowed his sunglasses. I said, can I borrow your sunglasses? You know, my point being is I wanted to pretend that this was mine, and people would look at me and think that, oh, I've got significance. This guy must not only have money, but he must have a way with certain things.
Yeah, I've done that too.
Yes.
Oh, completely. There was a work Christmas party, and it was a big, you know, it was a big to-do. This is years ago, but, you know, it was at this fancy country club, all that stuff. So, of course, I had a friend that had a, you know, a nice, really nice Mustang convertible. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, can I take your car, take my date to the, you know, Christmas party with that? And, of course, you know, I had to wash it and kind of stuff just to, you know, help bribe him.
Yes.
And yeah. And it was like, yeah, I made a good impression. But
so was
it
she,
wasn't even.
Was she impressed thinking that this was yours?
Well, it was also more. Oh, she knew it wasn't mine.
Oh.
No, she totally knew it wasn't mine. But it was to impress my coworkers.
It was to impress the coworkers.
Yes. Of course, they knew the car I drove.
Yes.
You know, normally. But the other ones that I didn't quite know as well, yeah, it was to impress those guys. And it was a fun car to drive. But yeah, it ended there.
You know, it's amazing the things that we end up doing that are just we think back. At the time, it was important in our lives, but we look back and say, "Man, what an idiot I was." Okay, so in Galatians chapter 5, verse 26, it says, "Let us not be conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." Okay. Mm-hmm. So we need to keep away from that sort of thing. This is what, you know, when we want significance, these are some of the things that the Bible talks about that we're actually seeking, okay? So let's take a break. Let's come back from the break. Let's continue on the same path that we're on, talking about the difference between purpose and significance. And what that means biblically and in our own lives. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Does the enemy have you pinned down, caught in the crosshairs? There's always a way out. Fire an email to help@bandofbrothersradio.com and we'll offer a strategy.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com.
All related, brothers and strangers, the king and the beggar bleed the same. We all got a sickness, a terminal condition. We medicated, but the pain won't go away. See the eyes of a million
back
faces.
Back to Band of Brothers Radio, and I like that. We all have... We're looking for the medication of all the pain that's taking place in our lives. And sometimes we think that the medication is being able to have certain things in our lives and because we believe this is what it's going to take. And truly what it comes down to is that we have to get to that place, especially in this relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't make it easier for us to be able to get these things because these things are the things of the world that we think are important for us in our lives. What we need is to have this relationship with Him where all of a sudden our thinking is different.
Yes.
And our desires become different. Our heart's desires are different. But see, we think that it needs to be done a little of both. I just need some Jesus in my life and that's what's going to make it better. No, what I need is I need all of Jesus of my life to be in Jesus. And when that happens, all of a sudden, some really cool things take place. Now, I may not think it's cool because not everyone else is going to think that's cool. But what it comes down to is my life is going to all of a sudden have a little different meaning than what it used to.
Yes.
So,
it will.
Anything of significance that you have there?
Actually, there's a quote from a pastor down in L.A. That's Los Angeles, not Lower Alabama. Where I'm from in Florida, I just have to say, when somebody says I'm going to LA, it's usually Lower Alabama.
Yeah.
It's sorry, y'all. It's a southern thing.
It's not the same as Louisiana.
No, yes, there's okay. a complete difference there.
Okay.
Let God develop you in the way that He is developing you, and stop comparing yourself. Because when you compare yourself, you're going to limit what God wants to do in your life.
Oh, amen to that.
Amen.
When I talk to men who are of that are now in the kingdom, working with the Lord in bringing hope into other men's lives, and seeing the changes that take place as a result of them submitting or surrendering, okay, to our Lord in their lives, you see the significance of their lives through their eyes, with their family, with their coworkers, with their relationships with people across the board. There are significant things that take place that all of a sudden they are, as a result of their being transparent, acknowledging the sin in their life or the obstruction, okay?
Yeah.
And as a result of that, really, truly realizing that when Jesus told Paul, said, "My grace is sufficient for you," that truly, truly was the answer that we were looking for too. Maybe not really looking for it, but that truly is the answer that will give us a different outlook, especially after we realize that can't have it both ways.
Exactly. And when you know, I know the thing I've been, and I don't know if this counts as encouragement or what, but the thing I've been realizing a lot lately, you can have head knowledge, and then there's the heart knowledge. And I've heard it said in church, and I forget the measurement, 12 or 18 inches, but what's the longest distance
between
in a man's life? Yeah, it's between your head and your heart.
Yep.
That truly is.
Yep.
Because there's scripture. I mean, I was raised in church, gave my life to Christ at an early age and everything, and have been living for Him or what I thought was living for Him in most areas of my life, all my life.
Right.
But there's even some verses just in the last week or two that I read it again. It was actually life to me.
Yes.
It didn't cause confusion. It didn't, it just didn't confound me. It actually meant something. It's like, because I've read it, I could quote it, all that good stuff, but until it actually means something in your heart. And I'd say, guys, if there's verses that you know, it's like, hey, that's a great verse, just go after it. Keep reading it, until you actually comprehend it and God, and ask God to make it life to you.
Right. Is there a verse in particular that you're thinking of here that was meaningful?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's see, Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life.
Yes. So that, once again, of being reminded of the water baptism that we go through. Which is not part of salvation. It's a part of signifying to everybody that this is what I'm doing. I am following Jesus, okay? So when we are put under the water, and we do complete submersion here, when you're put under the water, it's the same as being, you have died and now being buried, okay?
Yes, buried with Christ.
And as He resurrected, okay, on Easter, Resurrection Day, okay? He comes up out of the ground, and He is now alive. Now we come up out of the water, now alive, a new creation in Christ, okay? And as a result of it, that's why it becomes so important for us to be able to sense that and feel that and to know that. Anyway.
Oh, it is. Let me actually read it out of the Mirror translation. It's a paraphrase. Baptism pictures how we were co-buried together with Christ in His death. Then it powerfully illustrates how in God's mind we were co-raised with Christ into a new lifestyle. It's, it just simplifies it there. Just that burial with with Christ and we were raised with him. So right. we are new.
Right.
And I know for myself, that's, you know, that's one of those things I've been looking for a long time, and I'm glad God's brought it to me.
Well, you know, so often and, we end up, of course, desiring certain things, but we also, we want things when we want them. And we've got to remember, when we submit and surrender to him, you might as well throw your watch away. Might as well just throw it away, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's going to be on his time.
Yes.
Because his time is always perfect. And it's never on the time that I think it ought to be. And that's because my thinking might still be a little flawed. Mm-hmm. You think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So in Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Let me read that again. This is out of the ESV. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. That's a key verse, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about this thing is that it can actually, you can break it down a little bit to realize some of the things that are important. You sit there and you go, oh my goodness, he's going to work all things together for good.
Yeah.
Now, but that's not how it works. It works with, and we know that for those who love God.
Yes.
Who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So, in loving God, how do we show our love for God?
Show our love to others.
And being obedient.
And being obedient.
To his word, as it talks about in 1 John.
Yeah.
Okay? That's how we show our love to God, by being obedient. And you're correct, because that's where he says, hey, when they ask him about what is the greatest commandment? He says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right. Everything you have, seek me first above all things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, as a result of it, he says, surprise to the Israelites, and I should say the Pharisees at that time that were testing him.
Yes.
That what was the second commandment is like it. And they go, what? To love others as you love yourself.
Yes.
Or to think of others more highly than yourself. But it's about others.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about seeking him and seeking to help others. That's it.
Yeah.
You do those two things, and then you've got it covered. Because when you said about loving others, that's being obedient to what his command is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? But so often we think that as a result of seeking God first, that sometimes we think that we're doing that, when actually maybe we are thinking of others, even our family members, our wives, that they're more important than my relationship with Jesus, okay? My relationship with my children is more important than my relationship with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That my work that helps me to provide for my family is more important than my relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Getting priorities in life straight is
challenging.
It's challenging. Yeah. I mean, I've even seen some people that they have kids and then they put their kids above their wife, or they put their kids above God because they helped bring that child into the world. And yeah, that's true. You played a small part, or, you know, a part in that. You know, but it's like, you've got to get your priorities right, guys. It's, you know, God first, then your relationships, then yourself, your wife, then your kids, then everybody else, you know, and God will, as you grow in God and mature in God, you know, and you allow God to peel back more of those peels of the onion.
Yes.
and get down to some of those layers.
Yes.
And get out any rotten spots that might be in there. You know, God will align those priorities right. Because when you're in his will, that will supersede yours.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's take our last break coming up here, and we'll come back. We'll continue talking about some of these things that we've found to be so important for us. One thing I want to read just before we go to a break is if my little nook is going very fast here. For I know the plans I have for you, declare the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29, 11, 12, and 13. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Help us reach more men with hope and biblical wisdom. Spread the word about Band of Brothers Radio at faithplace.org.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, bench marker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
You're changing my heart to want what you want, to love how you love, and that is enough. There's no greater plan that I need to know. You only ask me to follow and want what you want, and want what you want, and want what you want, and want what you want.
Welcome back to Band Brothers Radio. Ian and Raul in the studio, in the house right now, and we are actually, we're talking on this difference, of course, between significance and purpose, and we're talking more of the purpose right now. And I read Jeremiah 29:11 through 14, rather, to remind us of what the prophet Jeremiah had said, what God had wanted us to hear and receive. Brother, how do you know that you are actually, that you're with him and that you're one of the chosen ones? Because you're actually here listening to this show. You're in his word, okay? You're seeking to try to do more of what he wants. You may not be perfect at it. As a matter of fact, you're not, and you fall short all the time. But you're not alone in this. But we keep seeking and seeking to be less in the dark and more in the light. And the only way of being able to do that is to turn up the light, you know? When there's more light, there's less darkness.
Yes.
So anyway, Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. So often thinking that, hey, I've got a plan. I know this is going to work, and this is how it's going to be, and this is what's going to actually lead us down this path that I believe the Lord will be, you know, grateful to that I'm thinking this way. No, many of those plans, okay, in the mind of a man, there's lots of them. But it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand, and it'll always be his purpose that will be there and carry through, all right? So, can you relate with any of the stuff that we're talking about?
Oh, yes. Yes, I definitely can.
A man of many words this morning. I cut him off. See, I like when I do that. Ian is,
yes.
You're breaking in. You're getting better every time you're on the air here. But I got to keep throwing him curveballs every now and then, or a slider, and he's going to end up missing it completely.
Yes.
You know? Anyway.
Yes. All for God's glory. one thing with purpose, you have to look at some of the biblical figures. You know, read through the stories of the Bible. Mm-hmm. You can look at the life of Joseph. You know, yes, he was a dreamer and a visionary, and God used him for great things to deliver the children of Israel and to provide for them for many generations. But how did he get to that purpose? His brothers beat him up, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery.
In a pot, in a vase.
Yeah, shoved him into a Yes, yeah. I forgot that part. Shoved him into a vase, sold him off into slavery. He spends time in jail, in the palace, in jail, in the palace, in jail, back into the palace, and it stays there.
Yeah.
When he was younger and being beaten up, thrown into a pot and sold off by his own family, I look at it from the point of view, what was he thinking? Was he thinking, why would you give me these dreams and visions? And are they for nothing?
Yes. Yes.
And I mean, and it took how many years? I don't recall how many exact years it took, but I mean, Joseph had to have been, I mean, figure, even if it was 20 years that passed, 30 years that passed, 40 years that passed from the time he was sold off to the time mm-hmm. he stayed in the palace.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that whole time, is he wondering, God, where are you in my life?
Mm.
Where are you? Because even I know myself, I constantly, constantly wonder sometimes, God, what's my purpose? Why did you bring me to Washington? Why did you allow me to come to Washington? I mean, I only moved here not even a year ago, and it's been some of the toughest seasons in my life. But it's been some of the most fruitful as well.
Mm-hmm.
I even had family even just yesterday telling me, they're like, Ian, you know, I know God's got you there for a reason. And honestly, that's what I needed to hear. I knew it in my heart.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some of the fruit in my own life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like to actually hear that outward expression of love and significance from family.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I wasn't seeking it, but when family actually said, Ian, wow, we are glad that God sent you there.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I still wonder why I'm here, but I know it's for God's purposes in my life and not my own. You know, and I'm honestly, it's taken me almost a good, you know, 9, 10, 11 months to
right.
realize it.
Right.
But I know that God's got me here for a reason. And I'm sticking it out, whether, you know, gray skies or sunny skies, I'm staying with God.
Amen. And no matter what it is that mm-hmm. you end up doing, each mm-hmm. and every day is significant in others' lives when we mm-hmm. bring light into that conversation or into that relationship with them. With everyone that we've come into contact with.
Yes.
That's truly what it comes down to, mm-hmm. is that we have to continue doing those things that he wants us to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
We can't forget in Matthew 28, when he's talking about the ultimate commandment of what it is that we mm-hmm. are to be doing, right?
Yeah.
To go and make disciples of
yeah.
all in all nations, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Including the one that you're in.
Yeah.
Okay? And being able to teach others about Jesus,
mm-hmm.
okay, so that they eventually will be coming more curious as to want to know more about this Jesus.
Yes.
You know, it's really what it's comes down to. Did you mm-hmm. have something there?
Let's see.
Well, you're looking there. Romans uh-huh. 12, verse 3 says, "For by the grace given to me," okay, this is Paul talking, "for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So God has assigned us with certain things to be able to do, okay, by trusting in him, okay,
mm-hmm.
that it's not about us. It's not about what we're going to get out of it. It's about what we can actually give away to others.
Yeah.
You know, in 2 Corinthians, he talks about giving away the comfort that we have been comforted by the Lord with, okay, to go mm-hmm. through the things that we have gone through, to give that to others, okay?
Yeah.
So often we're reminded over and over again, it's not about us. It's about him, and it's about those around us. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and when we can think on those two levels, mostly about Jesus, though, then all of a sudden we're going to be able to do the second one very well. And what's going on in our lives is not going to matter. We're going to be saying, thank you, Lord,
mm-hmm.
for me going through another day, not even thinking about the things that I so desire or have desired in the past.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
And you have to give those desires over to the Lord.
Amen.
You know, you really have to. And I know I'm still learning that one.
We all are, brother. You're not alone. We're all learning that one.
Yeah.
Right?
It's, you know, I like what Jesus says in John 5:30. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of he who sent me. Because, yeah. I mean, guys, remember, Jesus was fully man.
Yep.
He was born into this world just like you and I, but he was also fully God. He had that daily, I can only imagine, I don't want to say that Jesus had a struggle with it, but he probably did.
Well, he was tempted. He was just like all of us.
Exactly.
With the same things that we've been tempted with.
Yeah. And it's like he has that, you know, that even in just this verse, he's got that thing where he says, I don't do my own will. Because he had his own will, because he was fully man.
Yes.
He only did the will of God.
Yeah.
And, you know, would it take a lifetime for us as fully earthly men
yes.
to attain a level of commitment to God like that? Mm-hmm. It might.
Right.
Or it could just take a moment of God's grace.
Yes.
And when you know that God loves you and you know that you can pass that love on to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
That's fulfilling the purpose of God.
Yes.
And in that, it may just be that insignificant of a thing to show somebody else God's love and to help bring them into the kingdom.
Well, so often we forget and we take it for granted sometimes of, you know, his 3 years plus that he was on this earth in his mission and what he accomplished during that time.
Yeah.
Not only the miracles that we read about, but there are so many miracles and things that had happened that we haven't read about,
well,
that we're not even going to get to know about.
I forget if it says in the Bible or if it's one of the historians that said if all the accounts of Jesus were written down,
there's not enough paper
on the planet to
put it on there. But the simple fact is that plain and simple is that he, as a man, he was put here as a appropriation. Okay, the perfect sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay, he was a perfect sacrifice so that we would have relationship with God the Father. Mm-hmm. So that we can go to God the Father as we do in prayer at any given time and communicate with him, okay? Any given time of the day or night. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And it's because of what Jesus has done, that he's given us this opportunity to come to follow him and to be assured that if we believe in him and voice it with our mouth that he is king, okay, that I have eternal life guaranteed for me.
Yes.
I become an heir to the kingdom. And then now I have opportunity to be able to share that with those that I love on this earth. From our wives to our children to those other extended family members to those that I work with to those that I care about. You know, it's not about being able to make enough money to be able to get season tickets to the NFL games or to the Major League Baseball games or to be able to get that boat or to buy that house that needs to be a trophy house and all these things. No, it's not about that. It truly isn't. The things that we're given are as a result of that God, I believe, when we are seeking him, that his purpose will be fulfilled.
Yeah.
Okay? And as a result of that, we will find in the peace and the joy, the true joy within ourselves to be able to say, yes, this relationship with Jesus is so significant.
Yes.
Okay, in my life. All right? So anyway,
1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God.
Everything that you do.
Everything you do in your jobs. You know, sometimes if you've are in between jobs or you've got that job that you're like, why am I here?
so often we find ourselves in situations that we may know in our heart this is the way that we need to go, and these are the things that actually would make us feel better about life. Okay, but we forget one of the key things that he wants us to do.
Yeah,
is to be more like Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus is relational. He's trying to teach us to be relational in everything that we do. That's why there are men in your life, brother, that actually end up that they're there, not just so that you can go play ball with or to see on a Sunday, give a high five and say, hey, have a good afternoon. See you next Sunday. No, it's about being able to have relationship with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
It might mean that you maybe even are prompted to start up a Bible study in your home, maybe a small group of men that can actually gather together. I'm going to tell you, co-ed or husband and wife Bible studies and small groups are fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're more significant when they just become of a gender only, in this case of men.
Yeah.
Where men can actually talk about the things that we can talk about that we would not necessarily talk about with our wives present.
Exactly.
Because the Lord wants us to know that we're not alone in this walk. That he actually sent others so that we would be able to say, yes, I am like you.
Yes.
I understand.
Yes, and everybody has the same struggles that you do.
That's right. Because last thing that we want to do is listen to what the enemy says. He says, hey, you're alone. Nobody here cares or even knows. And that's just a lie from the enemy.
Yes, so. It is.
All right. Well, good topic, man.
Thank
How
you.
About you praying for our brothers who are listening?
Sounds good. Father God, bless all the brothers listening. And show them that they have purpose in you. I ask that you would just envelop them in your love today, that they would fully know that they are fully alive in you and can have new life and purpose in everything they do. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.